and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of May 25th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and ready for summer, Melissa Hansen.
I am. Texas, May's usually can be crummy because it can get hot.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen the sun, like, all month. And I'm lucky because have not had severely violent weather here. Have had some storms, but
unlike
no
other parts of Texas.
Anything here, and no, like, houses being washed away.
Okay.
Yeah, like, almost the whole state of Texas is literally disaster area. And I know, like, Oklahoma and Louisiana and Missouri some and stuff, you know, other places around are, man, the flooding, whatever. We were, like, April, we were still in, like, a severe drought, and we have not been for a couple weeks now.
Can they filter some of that water over to California? Because they really need it bad.
I know. That's always the problem. Someone's getting too much of it and someone else not enough. And there's, we can't even it out.
Right.
So, I don't know.
So, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
I saw Mad Max. Which I am not typical fan. When, you know, I heard they were making a new Mad Max, like rebooting it or whatever it's called. And I'm like, okay, whatever. No interest.
Yeah.
Really. And then I saw like a trailer for it and I'm like, oh, maybe it's more interesting than I thought. And then I heard some people, you know, talking about it, like how great it was. Oh my gosh, I was blown away.
Yeah.
So again, I am not the typical market for this.
Yeah.
You know, and it was amazing. If you completely hate action movies, then you won't like it. But if you like action movies at all, go see this.
Like Max, you are strapped to the front of a vehicle and driven through this film at 150 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Because you have to stop at points. They have to put moments in the film where you can just catch your breath.
Right. And that's what I was saying. I was telling my mom that I'd seen it. I was saying, you know how in action movies, you have 20 minutes and then you have like a 5-minute fight scene.
Yeah.
And then you have 20 minutes and you have a 5-minute car chase scene. I said, this is the opposite.
Yeah.
You have 20 minutes of bombastic in your face. And then you have a few minutes of like kind of more calm talking so you can catch your breath.
Mm-hmm. And it goes right back again.
Action's insane. I don't know how they filmed some of it. And then also that just the stuntmen on this, but also like CGI, whatever, insane the amount of work that went on this.
And I had read somewhere that they had scouted locations. I don't remember where it was. Maybe it was Australia, because that's where George Miller is from, the director, writer, creator of this world. And we had been talking off, off mic that nobody else has touched this world.
I didn't know. I saw the reboot thing, and I assumed it was somebody new and different.
Yeah.
And after I saw the movie, I went back. I'm like, I got to look more into this. And I'm like, oh my, it's the same guy that did like the original.
Mm-hmm. So there have been four films. He rebooted his own. The original one that was in Australia, which was an Australian film, became a cult classic here. Then they rebooted it. So it was Road Warrior. Mad Max was the one that was rebooted. Then it was Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah, kind of sequel.
Right. And now we've got Mad Max Road Fury. And this movie was supposed to happen like 25 years ago. And he's got the concept art and the script and all that stuff that people have been sharing to kind of see that.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Because couldn't have made it this way.
No, not like this.
Just technology-wise.
Yeah.
Could not have made it like this.
Yeah.
And you also wouldn't have had Charlize Theron.
But whatever, the locations that they had originally scouted were perfect. And then they got like this 100-year rain and everything started to green up.
Oh,
so
no.
They couldn't use that and they had to go and find somewhere else.
So it was too nice.
Yeah, it was too nice. It was so too, you know, too lush, not desolate enough. But the concept, there's not a lot of dialogue in this film.
No. It's, you've got, like the lone wolf character. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, stereotypical. Or, like, this archetype, too.
Yes. Yep.
Not stereotypical in a bad way. But, like, you know, this general archetype. And, nobody says much because they don't have to. It's just about this, like, survival.
Yeah.
What is there to talk about?
He doesn't try and tie the films together in any way.
No, and that's great. I haven't seen, because, you know, not my cup of tea. I haven't seen previous ones. I know kind of general about them.
Yeah.
you know, of course, because I'm, you know, not dead. Right. So, but I watched it, and there's stuff they don't really, like, explain.
Yeah.
Like, characters' injuries, or, like, who certain people are, like, why they are the way they are, mm-hmm. kind of thing. What trauma they had earlier in life, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because we can still, we know what, it, everybody knows what it's like to lose someone. Everyone knows what it's like to be hurt. Everyone knows what it's like to be lost. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter the why in the past. And you're not confused by it either. Watching the movie, you're like, okay, whatever.
No, these are universal themes.
Yeah. You're like, okay, there's like a young girl that kind of appears to him mm-hmm. in like his memory or fantasy or whatever. And it's not fully explained. Now I know, yeah, I know a little bit about the first one, so I guessed. It was supposed to be. It doesn't matter. We all have somebody who's important to us that kind of haunts us.
Yep.
Kind of thing. But yeah, the characters, amazing. The actors, amazing. The plot, which really isn't much.
No, it's very simple.
Get from this point to that point and then get to that point.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty much the plot.
Yep. There's a double cross. There's, you know.
Yeah, try to live while you're doing it. That's yep. it. There's the plot. But all this, like, undercurrent, which men's rights groups, there's been this controversy, are all pissed because the feminists ruined their action movie.
They don't understand why anybody would complain about anything in this film.
No, there's not. Because, oh my God, there's a strong woman. There's a physically strong woman, and then there's a few, like, emotionally strong women, too. You know, like, oh, so we have strong men and strong women. We have smart men and smart women. We have kind men and kind women. You know, I'm like,
And so, everybody in this world suffers from this apocalypse that happened. This, you know, whatever happened on the yeah. planet that destroyed the planet.
Yeah.
Happened to everybody. So there was a community, there was a community of females, of all females yeah. who raised, you know, these kids and stuff. And obviously they had to have males in order to procreate at some point, but there were this group of females. And then there was this group of males who dominated and took over and kind of banded together to create this tyrannical, you know,
right
despotism where they managed the people by giving them very little water for a certain amount of time. Yeah. But these worlds coexist. They have nothing to do with each other. It's not like the women are putting down the men or the men.
You know, and it's just like all men in this movie are bad either.
No.
And there is, I saw the undercurrent of women can make men better men.
Okay.
But that's not like some horrible thing.
No.
And that's not saying men can't be good without women.
Right.
Either. It's this balance of what is typically considered masculine and what's typically considered feminine.
Which we all have traits of both.
Right. And so it's not this women against men thing.
Yes.
Anyhow, I don't, yeah. It's more about the quality of everything.
Yeah.
And which is what feminism is. Feminism is not men are bad, women good. Feminism is we're all good. We all deserve, you know?
Yeah.
It's not man bad. Anyhow, so there's been this controversy because God forbid there's women in an action movie. God forbid there's women who aren't just damsels in distress in an action movie.
Or sexual objects or whatever. Yeah.
It's like the actual issue here.
Yeah.
Okay, that women are full human beings.
And I love that the
full human beings. Wow, what a horrible idea.
I love that the older women are just as tough as the younger women and the younger men.
Yeah.
You know, they have no, they're willing to fight just as alongside, right. They have, you know.
But, and some of them aren't. Some of the young women aren't as tough. It's not,
right.
It's not like young is better than all. It's all groups are equal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's bad guys.
Yeah.
Kind of thing that are equal to the good guys. But like, but it's not being masculine or being feminine or being young or being old or being black or being white or. You know, anything like that about them that makes them better or worse.
It's being human.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. So, anyhow, my one thing I wondered about.
What?
How much time did they spend figuring out the mask for Tom Hardy?
Oh, so the metal thing?
They had what they needed, but he didn't look like Bane.
Oh, you know, that never even crossed my mind.
Like, Oh, that's too Bane-ish.
I've never even thought about that.
he has a, you know, kind of Anthony Hopkins mask-ish.
Yeah.
Hannibal Lecter kind of mask for, like, part of it. Which is, like, I'm like, okay, it's enough different that it's not Bane. But, yeah, I wonder how much time they're like, ah, too Bane, too Bane.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that one's good enough. But he was good, which I expected. Charlize Theron, like, rocked the shit out of this movie.
Yep.
And Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, I love Nick.
And we know from About a Boy, the cute little About a Boy, the movie, not the TV show.
Right.
Oh, my God!
He's been in the X-Men movies as of late, playing Beast and Hank McCoy. And,
it's true. Yeah. But yeah, I was just like, oh, my God, that's him!
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah. Really good experience. This is not a movie that your brain can't possibly comprehend or digest everything you see in this film in one sitting.
No. And how much have I just babbled about it? Because I get it. There's so much and I don't know what to say and how to say it intelligently enough that it deserves. It deserves to be discussed intelligently.
Yes.
And I'm like, I can't do it. Yeah. Credit. So.
So on the flip side of this, so you have this dystopian, you know, anachronistic world. And on the other side, I went and saw Tomorrowland. Which everybody has been really down on and what a disappointment it is, what a bad movie it is. And I'm like, am I seeing the same film that you guys are? So I'm going to put it out there. I'm a big fan of Brad Bird.
Yes.
I'm also a big Disney fan.
Yes.
And have been my entire life. So they tie it back to stuff from the parks, you know, going back to Walt's creation stuff for the World's Fair, and that's how this whole thing started. I'm also a big George Clooney fan, too.
Yes.
And the girl who played opposite him, this Britt Richardson, I've got to look it up to see what her name is. She was phenomenal. It's not, you know, it's not easy to stand up next to George Clooney and make it look effortless.
No.
And Tim McGraw was in this. Tim McGraw played her dad.
That's cool.
So,
he's good, man. I wish he'd act more.
Yeah. And it's not a huge role, but it was really nice.
Yeah. He's really, yeah. Cause he did the movie Friday Night Lights.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
And he was in The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. That's a big role. Anyhow.
So here, the story of this is these people who got together in the 60s and created this world where all the artists and the thinkers and the dreamers could all get together and create this bright new future away from government oppression and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But it never worked.
Yeah.
And then they got sucked into thinking that, you know, what they did is create this machine that kind of predicts the end of the world and when it comes.
Ooh.
But they get stuck in that. So they're, you know, assuming that the world is going to end, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And along comes this girl who doesn't believe that. And she's introduced into this story, and now things change. So it's fighting the kind of inevitable end that we're all heading towards, this dystopia. Whereas back in the 60s, in the 70s, and even in the 80s, the hopes for the future were all, you know, it was the Jetsons, it was flying cars, it was, you know, science fiction was this great world of exploration, like Star Trek and things like that. Now all we're seeing and all we're digesting are things like Mad Max, where everything is this horrible end to, and there is no plans or dreams.
Think about all the teen novels.
Yes, right. And they talk about that.
The Hunger Games and whatever. Yeah. So,
again, the messages are very simple in this. It's not a complex movie. I don't know if people were expecting much more out of this, but it's heartfelt and it strikes a real chord for me as someone who has been a dreamer his entire life, but never really done anything with it. You know, aside from my theater and stuff like that, there's this lack of self-actualization or self-realization.
Yeah.
And that comes through. I mean, I'm sure Brad has suffered with that throughout his life, as most artists do. And I saw that Amanda Palmer video today.
Mm-hmm.
From her TED Talks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, just certain messages come into your life at certain times. And just the drum is beating for me right now. So I'm seeing all this stuff that's all saying the same thing. And, you know, for whatever reason, Tomorrowland really resonated with me. I'm sorry that it obviously hasn't with a lot of other people, but I wouldn't take those criticisms to mm-hmm. heart, I would go and experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to like about this film.
All right.
So box office this weekend, holiday weekend, 3-day weekend, 4-day weekend for some. But
well, people did go see Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't like it as much as you did. Almost $42 million mm-hmm. for Tomorrowland. And then Mad Max, $32 million. Pitch Perfect, $30 million. Avengers, $28 million. And Poltergeist, $25 million.
Nobody needs to go see Poltergeist. Although I hear from my friends who are horror fans that it is a good remake. So.
And I am hearing from people I know that are horror fans that it is crap.
Oh, interesting.
It's horrendous.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I just it's got the clown again, so I'm not seeing it. That's all I can tell you.
The original tormented me enough. I don't need to see it again.
Yeah. All right.
Coming this week, we've got a more disaster. The Rock attempts to save California in San Andreas.
Oh, my.
The earthquake of all earthquakes arrives. Cameron Crowe has a new film called Aloha.
Yes, he does.
With Bradley Cooper.
Yes, with quite a cast. So. Yeah.
And then if you like action thriller, Pierce Brosnan and Mila Jovovich. I never can say her last name right. Jovovich. And James McTeague's Survivor.
The hottie Russian chick.
Yes. From all the Resident Evil films. And The Fifth Element.
She's an amazing singer, too.
Oh, I forgot about that.
She released CDs.
Yeah.
Anyhow. All right.
DVD and Blu-ray this week. We've got Seventh Son, which is yet another one of those teen novels made into a movie.
All right, then.
And for whatever reason, Julianne Moore and Jeff Bridges are becoming the go-to people for all these films.
When all right.
You need adults or Meryl Streep or whoever, yeah. You know. The miniseries, the History Channel miniseries, Sons of Liberty, with Ben Barnes is available this week. We've got 4 80s cult classics, 2 from Olive Films, 2 from Shout Factory, Enter the Ninja, Revenge of the Ninja, and then 2 of the Monty Python crew. Yellow Beard with John Cleese and Graham Chapman. And then Terry Jones, Eric the Viking. All available.
Oh, nice. Okay, so not like John Hughes 80s. Like
no.
Got it. Cool.
No, Michael Dudikoff, kind of ninja, you know, stuff from the mid to late 80s. And then there's 3 complete series available. If you're a television fan, Fran Drescher's The Nanny. The Rockford Files, the complete collection.
Oh.
James Garner, but and it includes the television movies that they made in the 80s after the series had ended.
Oh, nice.
And then Roger Moore's The Saint. Now, this is before he became James Bond, but this is what he was doing on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's all on DVD and Blu-ray this week. And DVD is going to be quiet because the studios want you to go to the movies to see stuff.
Yes.
Redbox this week. Seventh Son. Again, J-Lo in The Boy Next Door. Paul Thomas, is it Paul Thomas Anderson or Paul W.S. Anderson? I forget. Anyway, Inherent Vice with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay.
Married to, Maya.
Yeah, and this was another book that was adapted into a film.
Yeah, he's married to, I don't know if they're officially married. They've been partners and have a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
Rudolph.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, they've been together for quite a few years. Anyhow.
And then for the families at Redbox this week, we've got 2 animated films, Maya the Bee and Eggy, which is about a chicken. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Over at Netflix, we've got Nazis. Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds arrives at Netflix for the first time. If you haven't seen it, go put it in your queue right now. Because it's a damn good film. And it really justifies why Christoph Waltz has been getting so much work lately.
Oh.
He is brilliant in this.
Yes.
More Nazis in The Boys from Brazil with Gregory Peck and Sir Laurence Olivier. Very creepy what happened to guys like Dr. Mengele after the Third Reich fell. Zombievers. There's got to be a zombie movie out, and now it's Zombie Beavers. A perfect film that everyone must watch every summer, David Wayne's Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
So funny. And that is coming to Netflix as a Netflix original series in the not-too-distant
future. Yes, that's right.
And then a great little cult classic coming-of-age film, Juno Temple in Dirty Girl. So you can read my review or verdict for that. At Hulu, Lots of TV this week. Marlo Thomas series, That Girl, is all on there. We've got, and Cartoon Network obviously broke their deal with Netflix, because now everything is over at Hulu. We have 4 seasons of Samurai Jack, all 5 seasons of The Venture Brothers, 6 seasons of Dexter's Laboratory, and all 7 seasons of Robot Chicken.
Cool.
So lots of great stuff to waste your time at over at Hulu. And that's all I have for physical and streaming media this week.
Lente. Wow. It's unofficially summer because we're after Memorial Day now.
Yep.
So that means reality TV. Like, we didn't have enough before. It's basically almost all that's on now. Tuesday, Extreme Weight Loss with Chris Powell returns to ABC. This actually can be a really inspiring show.
Oh.
So it's people who over a year lose like over 100 pounds.
Okay.
And yeah, it's, anyhow, it's a reality show, but there's more inspiration in it than just like rich women fighting, you know?
Okay.
All right. And then America's Got Talent returns on NBC Tuesday. And Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on Fox.
Mm.
Wednesday, The Briefcase, which is a new reality. People are given like $100,000 and then have to make a choice and whatever. Bullseye on Fox, which is a like challenges. You have to do physical challenges kind of reality.
Yeah.
Okay. Non-reality Thursday, Aquarius on NBC.
Ooh.
New series. It's David Duchovny. It's the Charles Manson kind of, it's Charles Manson.
Yes.
And that time period, David Duchovny plays like the cop. But here's the cool thing. So Thursday night it premieres.
Uh-huh.
All of the episodes will be released online Friday.
I heard that. That's
so
awesome.
So you can watch it on your TV, or you can, you know, it's working so well for like Netflix and stuff.
You have to.
It's, people it's, yep. like just wanting to chain smoke them all.
Yep.
So the actual TV networks are getting into that. So yes. So Thursday Aquarius is actually on your TV set. NBC, and but then you'll be able to watch them all online.
Very cool.
Friday. All right, Friday, back to reality. What would you do? It's like they set up situations and see if anybody like reacts and helps out the person and then shames people that don't. It's been on for a while. It's like ABC News kind of program. Saturday night, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony is HBO, and like Ringo Starr is in this year, and Green Day is being inducted.
Okay.
So very cool. And then Sunday we have a new animated series on Fox, Golan the Insatiable. It's Rob Riggle doing the voice. It's a powerful like god from an alternate dimension who arrives in Oak Grove, Minnesota. A young girl.
Okay.
And it's Rob Riggle.
Okay.
So you can't beat that with a stick.
This is true.
All right. Music this week. We're kind of all over the place. Lifehouse, Out of the Wasteland is out. And then Oak Ridge Boys.
What?
Rock of Ages, Hymns and Gospel Favorites.
Wow.
And then Bellamy Brothers, 40 Years, the album.
Holy crap.
Heck yeah. And then you talked about Aloha.
Yeah.
Cabin Crow. Cabin Crow produced the soundtrack too. Because you know how music's always so big. And
it's huge.
Yeah. So Songs of Aloha is out. And it's got stuff from Hall & Oates and David Crosby and Beck. And then like traditional Hawaiian artists too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's all over the place. But cool stuff all over the place. Books this week. Rita Mae Brown. She's almost as prolific, I think, as Patterson. Tailgate, T-A-I-L.
Uh-huh.
It's Mrs. Murphy series, 24. But this is the one that, like, is about the cat, too.
Oh.
Like, Rita Mae Brown's cat writes with her.
Oh, jeez.
Uh-huh. Anyhow, well, enough people like it, man.
Okay.
All right. And then we're also, like, big-time nonfiction. This week, Adam Carolla.
Oh, God, please.
Daddy, Stop Talking. Yeah. And Other Things My Kids Want But Won't Be Getting.
Jesus.
So more my comedy angle, Nick Offerman.
Oh.
Look out. It's history kind of told comedically. Gumption, Relighting the Torch of Freedom with America's Gutsiest Troublemakers.
America.
Yeah. So That's out. And then Life is Short, no pun intended, Love, Laughter, and Learning to Enjoy Every Moment. And this is Jennifer Arnold with Bill Klein. They're the littlest couple.
Oh.
And they, I mean, amazing lives. She's like this celebrated doctor, and he's this great businessman. And she actually just went through cancer herself, and has is in remission with that. Anyhow, so they're actually pretty inspirational people.
Cool.
And her book is out this week. And then Dennis Hopper, Drugstore Camera. Now, we all know Dennis Hopper is an actor.
Right.
But do you know he's also a photographer? A lot of this stuff is from the time of like, Easy Rider.
Okay.
And it's like cheap cameras developed at the drugstore kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but amazing, like landscape photography and such. So that is out this week.
Well, he had the coolest house in our neighborhood before he passed away.
Yeah.
In Venice. But, yes. He was quite the Renaissance guy.
Yeah, he was. So here's another aspect. If you are a fan of his, you can pick up and see his photographic artwork.
Very nice.
Jessica Lange, back on Broadway.
I just saw that just came through from Playbill.
Yeah.
It's Roundabout Theater.
Yes.
My friend Scott works in the box office.
Ah, well, he will get to see Jessica Lange. She's returning, and again, in Long Day's Journey and Tonight. With Gabriel Byrne.
Jesus.
Yeah, so this is Eugene O'Neill's kind of classic play, directed by Jonathan Kent. But Ryan Murphy is helping produce this.
Oh, because she's done all the American Horror Stories.
Yeah, so I was going to say that it's, we know she's on break right now from shooting American Horror Story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so is Ryan. So he is helping out with mounting the show.
Nice.
Okay. Officially opens April 19th at American Airlines Theater.
Hmm.
So there you go. There's your movie stars on Broadway for you.
And it's an interesting lead in to our first story because we're mourning the loss of comedy legend Anne Meara, who in 1993 starred in a remount of Long Day's Journey and Tonight with Liam Neeson and Natasha Richardson.
Okay. Yes.
So she was an amazing lady, right? So she started out as a dramatic actress and then met boyfriend's then husband in the 50s, Jerry Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
When they got married, they joined this improv troupe called Compass Players, which ultimately then evolved into Second City.
Mm-hmm.
And then they broke off from them and did their own comedy act in New York City nightclubs, then became a staple on the Ed Sullivan Show and the Tonight Show. And she would, they were so funny together.
Yeah.
Such an amazing couple, two kids, Amy and Ben, both of whom are still big in the industry, you know.
Yeah.
You know Ben more than you do Amy. But she would go back. She was the English teacher in the original movie Fame.
Yes.
In the 80s.
Right about that one.
Yep. She was the tough bitch teacher who made it was Tyrone, right? The guy that she had to keep trying to get, he was the great dancer, but couldn't read and she had to try and inspire him to.
I totally forgot that she was in the movie version.
We talked about Boys from Brazil. She was in Boys from Brazil with Laurence Olivier and then a lot of Broadway stuff on and off Broadway for the past 40 years.
So. You want to talk Renaissance man? She was a Renaissance woman.
Yeah, she was. She really was.
She could do anything.
85 years old, lived a very full life and leaves behind a great legacy.
Yeah.
We're also mourning the loss of John Nash and his wife, Alicia. John was the renowned mathematician, Nobel Prize winner, subject of Ron Howard's A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah. And so, such a horrible story.
Yeah.
That's sad, but he had gone to receive an award.
Yep.
He and his wife were returning home from the airport in a taxi.
Yep.
And there was this horrific accident.
Yeah, the cab driver apparently tried to pass somebody and lost control of the car and flipped it into the...
And somebody else hit them, and I don't know for sure what.
Neither one of them were wearing seatbelts in the back seat, and both were thrown from the car.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very Sad story.
Yeah. Sad for some, not for others. Mary-Kate and Ashley will not rejoin the Tanner family for the Netflix original series Fuller House, which we got a little more information. It's going to focus on sisters DJ and Steph and their friend Kimmy Gibbler as adults. Supported by Uncle Jesse and Joey. Now, Bob Saget has not yet signed on, and neither has Lori Loughlin. So, not sure what's going to happen there, but, you know, fans of Full House will still get their fix. And because, what was it? It was, I saw the preview, my nieces were watching Girl Meets World.
Yes.
And Mr. Feeney was on, and Will Friedle, who plays their brother, was on there, and Ryder Strong was on there. So all of these, you know, things are starting to come back around again. And Disney's never, I love Disney, but there's some things they do that piss me off.
Oh, like, yeah.
They're continuing to remake live action of all of their films, all of their great animated classics. And the next one is, well, they're working on Beauty and the Beast right now. The next one is Tinkerbell, and Reese Witherspoon is going to star.
Yep, I saw that. Which, the idea sounds stupid, but if you're going to make it, that's kind of cute casting.
I guess.
Like, she's the little cute thing.
I guess. I don't know. I don't need... You've got a great Tinkerbell franchise, animation-wise. Leave it. Tom Bergeron is retiring from America's Funniest Home Videos after God knows how many years. Talk about Bob Saget. He's the one who started that train wreck.
Yeah.
And will be succeeded by Dancing with the Stars champion Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yay.
So the show lives on because people still keep filming all of their ridiculous people, friends and family getting hurt.
Yeah, Alfonso's hosted like game shows and stuff.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, Wayne won on it.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was like a cards thing.
No kidding.
An answering question, I can't remember. It's like Game Show Network stuff.
So our friend Wayne Scott is an actor, a Juilliard grad who's in Los Angeles now.
He was on Modern Family this spring. Security guard.
Yeah, great actor who's reduced to being on game shows and playing security guards and bouncers. I know, but it is frustrating.
I know what you're saying, but I don't want to look negatively either.
No. I mean, he is a working actor. It's just
fun stuff on some great shows.
He's extremely talented and deserves much better work than that. Okay. In my opinion.
Yes.
As somebody who's been doing theater straight for 3 years, in my opinion.
Okay.
The Duggar clan is in big old crisis mode right now. TLC has dropped the series 19 Kids and Counting from their schedule after 27-year-old Josh admitted to inappropriately touching several of his sisters as a teen.
Yeah, and it seems like other girls too. And point out, he was a teen, they were not yet.
Oh.
They were little girls.
Oh boy.
So yeah, he basically, and this, he told his parents years ago. Mm-hmm. They told the police by telling, like, a friend of his dad's who did not much about it.
Okay.
So they did come – the police did come out a few years ago and interview some of the family. Nothing was ever – charges weren't pressed because, of course, the victim's parents aren't because they're also the perpetrator's parents.
Yeah.
Huge – just a huge mess. And so many people are defending him. And, like, Mike Huckabee has been out, like, totally defending him. Like, the whole, well, it's the whole, like, this young indiscretion thing is being, I am sorry.
Oh.
And this whole, I made a mistake. You know what? I made mistakes. I did bad things. I sold stickers from the Hello Kitty store at the mall.
Yeah.
I didn't finger bang my sisters.
No. As somebody who's been doing V-Day for the past 2 years and is very familiar with friends,
Not a mistake. This is not a crime.
This is sexual assault.
This is a crime. That's what it is. Yes. It's not a mistake.
This is sexual assault, and there's zero tolerance for stuff like this. I don't care if you're right-wing Christian and you say that God was doing, you know, channeling something. Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's wrong. Well,
and one of the issues that's come up is that they're homeschooled. The family's homeschooled. And part of the curriculum they use is from this, like, Christian group that puts it out, and they have a sex curriculum in which the victims are blamed for sexual assault.
Oh my God.
It's provocative. That's the kind of the base of it. Like, well, why did this happen? What were you wearing? Kind of shit.
This is everything that we are in the public schools teaching now that is wrong. The victim is never at fault.
Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah, so it's a mess. We'll have to wait and see what happens to the shows. But what's dumbfounding is how many people are supporting him. He made a mistake years ago. Why are... Oh, my God.
And see, this is what bothers me. And I'm not trying to drag religion into this, but these are people who stand behind religion to persecute people.
Right.
Until it falls on them to be persecuted, and then they use it as a defense to say, well, it's worse for everybody but me. I can stand behind this and say I'm
right. Okay. And that's the big thing with the Duggars. The Duggars have been extremely outspoken about any gay rights and have flat out said that, you know, gay people hurt children.
Yeah.
Really? Meanwhile, knowing and covering for their son that actually hurt children.
I can't do that. And family members.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a whole nother topic for a different podcast and a different, it's not an entertainment show.
Right.
But I'm glad that TLC has decided to step up and not sweep this under the rug and say, all right, you know, we're going to distance ourselves from this. This is a big mess. You guys have been great for our ratings. You've made us a lot of advertising money and now we're done. So,
but that's part of the issue. Do you remember this whole Honey Boo Boo thing with Mama June?
No.
Mama June, this was, how was
it?
Months ago.
She was dating a child molester or something.
She was dating someone who, supposedly dating someone who molested one of her daughters, mm-hmm. not Honey Boo Boo, one of the old, now older ones, mm-hmm. kind of thing. TLC canceled the show.
Yeah.
How is this not worse?
Right, right.
Anyhow.
We're going to end on a positive note. I didn't see it, but David
we're not. We have to end with the Kardashians.
That's true. All right, so I am going to end my segment.
Positive. Go with it.
So Letterman has abdicated his late night throne after more than 30 years. I guess it was a great final week. I did not watch any of it. I've been so busy. I'm thinking stuff is, now CBS is weird for streaming. I don't know what's available out there to catch up on it. But the network allowed him to go long, like 15 or 20 minutes in the last show, so... All of my friends, like Clink, my college roommate who lived and died by Letterman pretty much every weeknight, is going through major withdrawals right now. But Stephen Colbert will take over in mm-hmm. the fall.
All right.
That's all I've got for entertainment news.
Okay. So, Kris Kardashian, you know how we call her momager? She's a mom and a manager.
Oh, okay.
So, she uses the word momager.
Uh-huh.
So this I didn't know. She's already trademarked it for personal management services for use in a reality show. They're the only ones that can use Momager. But now she's trademarking it just in the world of entertainment.
Uh-huh.
She's filed. We'll see if it goes through. So like anybody in entertainment, like you cannot call Dina Lohan it without Chris's permission.
Or you'll get sued like the... Yeah. Wrestling guy who goes around to sue people when everybody says what I'm not going to say it because they'll sue us again after they already tried to sue us the first time.
Right. But like, and it came out a few weeks ago, like Kylie and Kendall are trying to trademark like their first names.
Oh my God.
Kind of thing, which I think that they're smart in trademarking stuff in general, like entertainers, because now, especially with the internet and stuff, people use your website, you know, your name for websites and for all kinds of stuff, and people make money off of you. But this is like ridiculous.
Yes, of course it is.
All right.
All right. Now, do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's from ARC Entertainment. Uh-huh. It's called The Barber, and it's a dramatic thriller, but starring Scott Glenn.
Ooh.
Woohoo.
Okay. As always, we thank you guys for tuning in. Listen to our podcast at DVDVerdictPresents.com, for reading our reviews at DVDVerdict.com. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Please believe me, this isn't easy. I just need to say goodbye.